take a moment and bow in prayer. Father, we praise you for those who sacrifice their lives for us. We today reap the benefit of their great sacrifice. We thank you for our nation. We praise you for the United States of America. It's our home. We are citizens of this land and citizens of heaven. And Father, we pray for the nation as we remember this weekend those who have sacrificed for us. We pray for the families, that you will minister to them, comfort them. And we pray for our land. Many things that concern us that are going on, we talk about them often. But Father, we take this moment to pray for your blessing on our nation, that you will move and work within us, that we would be the people that you would want us to be. And we pray that we as Christians would be an example to our fellow citizens of how we honor you, we glorify you, we live for you, and we thank you for this land and pray that liberty and justice for all would be upheld, that your word would be honored again, and that this nation would turn to you. We thank you, Father, for this weekend, and may we honor these men and women well who have served in this way. We commit all these things to you with thanksgiving and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and turn to hymn number 193 in our choir, and then willingly lay down his life at our hands that he might pay the price for our sins. Thank you that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and all who put their faith and trust in him are saved through his finished work. Thank you for his resurrection. Thank you that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's seated at your right hand, and we are awaiting his return. Father, may he find us faithful. May he find us serving him when he calls us home to be with him, his bride. He's preparing that place for us, and we praise you for that. He's a glorious Savior, and we pray that he would be honored well in this hour as we worship you, worship him, lift high the name of Jesus. May the Holy Spirit do his great and mighty work in each of our hearts in all that we do in this hour. We pray for his blessing, your blessing, on this time, and may you be honored, glorified, and pleased in all that occurs in this hour. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning. I know it's Memorial Day, and you might say, well, what in the world has this got to do with Memorial Day? But anyway, I'm going to read it in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I think maybe we'll get the idea before I finish. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and beginning at verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and a desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, Because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there's no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we remember today and tomorrow those who have given their lives for our nation, for those who have laid down themselves in death for us, that we might live in freedom, that we might continue on, and we remember them in a special way. We do pray, our Father, that you will comfort the hearts of any who are grieving in these days. It's a somber thing to think about, the death of loved ones and friends. And we just pray that you would comfort us and help us and lead us and guide us. Help us to live in such a way as to bring honor to them. And Lord, we pray, thanking you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life on the cross for us, that we might be redeemed from our sins, that we might have eternal life in him. And Lord, we thank you so much that he came forth from the grave on that third day, alive, alive forevermore. And we rejoice in all of your goodness to us. Lord, we ask you to bless this service today and help us all to find something in our hearts that will be helped by the word of God. May your holy will be done. We pray for those who are ill today. We ask you to comfort and strengthen them. Those who have special needs, you know, Lord, the ones that's in the hospital. And we pray that your holy will would be accomplished in every heart and life. Thank you so much for all your blessings and every good and perfect gift that comes down from above. May Jesus Christ be praised. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, as we all know, Memorial Day 2023 is tomorrow. It has been set aside as a national holiday to remember in a special way those who gave their lives in wartime to allow us to have the freedom that we enjoy. We certainly owe them a great deal of gratitude and should remember their sacrifice. We also should be thankful for all the men and women who have risked their lives in defense of our great nation. Appreciate all of those who have served our country. It's also a time to remember what God has done for us as a nation and as individuals. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." Israel was chosen as God's special nation, and he has continued to watch over it through good times and bad. Through times of obedience, they enjoyed his blessings. And through times of rebellion, they endured his righteous punishment. As we see all through the Bible, it speaks of this again and again, and we've seen it in history as well, what the Israel has had to go through. Well, America has also been greatly blessed of God. Our forefathers founded this nation on godly Christian principles. There are many quotations that we could cite. One of the clearest is by Patrick Henry, the first governor of Virginia and a member of the Continental Congress. He said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." So how can people say we were never a Christian nation? Again and again throughout our history, God has intervened in our behalf in a marvelous way. I know Denny alluded to this in Sunday school this morning. This illustration that I'm using here is talking about British Commander William Howe was moving 30,000 veteran British soldiers to take New York during the Revolutionary War. General George Washington only had 18,000 inexperienced troops. It was 1776. British troops outflanked Washington. Washington lost 1,000 men and two top generals. His troops were discouraged. Without any reason, the British halted their troops. Had they kept on pressing, they would have destroyed Washington and his troops. Yet still, they were trapped on Long Island. The only route of escape was the treacherous East River. Weather was very bad, and it seemed impossible to cross. Washington called for a prayer meeting to ask for God's guidance and help. He decided to attempt to cross the river. Storming, then suddenly 11 p.m., the wind died down, the rain stopped. The river was as smooth as glass. They started across, and the gentle breeze came up behind them to push them along. Even with this miracle, still it would be impossible to get to the other side with all the troops and not be seen by the British by daylight. Just before daybreak, thick fog draped over them and hiding them from the British troops. When fog lifted, the British commander was shocked. Washington and his troops had all escaped. He and his men recognized God's blessings on America. And there's many instances like that that we could cite. But do we still acknowledge and worship the one who has blessed us so greatly? I can't imagine our president today or any of the leaders of the nation calling for a prayer meeting to go before battle. But be that as it may, many Christians have turned away from God. Many Americans, I should say, not Christians. Many Americans have turned away from God and no longer honor and serve him. We as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, we will continue to exalt and praise Almighty God for all that he's done, all that he's doing, and continue to worship him. This is our privilege, isn't it? To be able to acknowledge God and all that he is. So as we come to worship the Lord, we would do well to remember what our life was like before we trusted Christ as Savior. If you can think back that far. As I spent a long time for me. But we were lost, without hope, bound for eternal destruction. And somehow we came into contact with Jesus. He came. And we embraced him. We accepted him as our Savior. We believed in him. We trusted him. And he saved us. And what a wonderful memory that is, thinking back. What a wonderful memory. We should remember godly parents and grandparents and others who have influenced us in our walk with the Lord. Precious memories flooding our souls, right? The old song, precious memories, how they linger, how they ever fill my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious memories return. Or something like that. But anyway, Memorial Day is a national holiday set aside to remember those who have died, especially in the time of war for our country. So how grateful we should be to all who have made this supreme sacrifice that we might live in freedom. Should also be a time of remembrance, remembering loved ones and friends that have passed over to the other side. It should be a time to remind us of our own mortality. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. So thank God for the next verse. It says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So how wonderful to remember that Jesus took all of our sins upon himself, and he died in our place to give us eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? Think of that. The grace of God, right? It's all of grace. It's all of mercy. Throughout the Bible, we are urged again and again to remember. Israel was told to set up a memorial when they crossed the Jordan. We've had this not too long ago in the book of Joshua. When they were going into the promised land, they took 12 stones and put them up there as a reminder of what God had done in bringing them in. After those 40 years in the wilderness, here now they're going into the promised land. And so they set up this memorial for that. The Passover also was a yearly reminder of God's deliverance of his people from slavery in Egypt. 400 years they spent in Egypt. Much of that time as slaves. And so Moses was commanded to lead them out. And they had the Passover supper as a reminder of what they experienced. God told them to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And if they did, that they would be spared. They had the Passover Seder, and they still have it today. Some of them, I'm sure, anyway, they don't understand what it's all about, maybe. But at any rate, the Passover is a memorial each year of God's deliverance of his people from slavery in Egypt. Then we have the Lord's Supper, right? Next week we'll be having the Lord's Supper, communion, that every month we can have it as often as we want, he says, right? Every week, every day, ever how often you want to do it, but you do it in remembrance of Christ and what he did for us, right? That's what it's all about. Our salvation, the Lord's Supper. Baptism as well. We had a baptism last week. It's a memorial of what it means to be a Christian, to follow Christ, to know him. It's a picture of dying with Christ and being raised again to walk in newness of life. So we have so many memorials that God gives to us to use, to remind us. So this morning we'd like to look at the last part of this book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon is writing. He's writing primarily to his young people, to his son especially, but I'm sure we can all gain something from this. And the scripture here certainly talks about older folks as well. So here we are, and we find that, first of all, he says, rejoice and remember. Look back at chapter 11 just for a minute. Chapter 11, verse 8. Chapter 11 and verse 8. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. So, he says, as God's people, we are not to be morbid, we are to rejoice together. He says that, right? Rejoice in all that you're doing. But at the same time, we must not forget the days of darkness. You have any days of darkness? I'm sure you do. We all do. We can remember back to those hard, hard times, those days of sadness and sorrow. And it certainly brings our hearts to a place where we weep. But he says, now rejoice. The days of darkness have passed, and we are to look forward to the future with faith and trust in God, in the Lord Jesus, and follow him. The most valuable lessons that we ever learn are learned from suffering and sorrow. That's the reason, I guess, the Lord allows these things to come into our lives, to teach us. It's difficult lessons, that's for sure. Notice the warning given to young people. He tells them, he says, enjoy your life, have fun, but make sure you're living righteously. God will hold you accountable in the day of judgment. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to enjoy your life. But realize you're going to have to give account. So keep yourselves in the fear of God and walk in fellowship with him. Okay, look at chapter 12, the first verse. Talk about remembering. I thought of this in relationship to Memorial Day. Remember. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Remember our lives. Remember all these things. And he says here, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Well, most of us have passed the youth a long time ago, haven't we? But yet we still need to remember our Creator. He's the one who has made us. We are his people, and we are not made by ourselves. So we need to know the Lord. Remember now thy Creator. Before the evil days come, and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know? We need to know the Lord. We need to walk in fellowship with him. We need to love him and serve him before we get set in our ways, before we fall into the pit or whatever. And so we need to know the Lord from as soon as we possibly can. And that means, you know, we as believers, we need to seek in every way possible to bring the children to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, to avoid, hopefully, some of those dark, dark days that come in our lives, or at least to know how to face them with confidence in God and in his mighty hand. So here we find Isaiah chapter 40. Let's take a look here. Speaking about our Creator. And Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. It says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." So, this Creator, who is he? What does it say? He says, remember, he is the everlasting God. He always has been, he always will be, and he is always faithful. He is the everlasting one, the one who will never go away, the one who will never forsake us. And it says he is the Lord, the Lord. He's the master. He's the sovereign. He's the one who is in charge. And we would do well to listen to what he has to say and obey him. He is the Lord. And he is the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, didn't he? Right? He's the one that did it. We didn't do it. It wasn't a big bang. It wasn't something else. It is, we have here, the Creator of all things. And then in John chapter 1, look at John chapter 1. I know you're probably familiar with it. But let's look. John chapter 1 and verse 1 starts off just like Genesis, doesn't it? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So we find this God, this Creator, the one who made all things, the one who always has been and always will be, the one who is the Lord and Master, is Jesus Christ. Isn't it? Yeah. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, this God, it says, he gives power to the faint. And those who grow weary, he increases our strength. So we need to cry out to him in our times of weakness, times of when we cannot make it on our own. Look to the Lord. He will help. He never faints. He never grows weary. There's no limit to his understanding, power. And we can count on him. So what does he do? It says, he gives power to the faint. Yeah. The song says, are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? What do? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well-known, right? There we go. He is giving power to the faint. He increases might to the helpless. He renews the strength of those who wait before him, no matter how old they may be. He's always with us, right? And so we can praise him for that. And what does it say? It says, remember now before it's too late. In beautiful poetic language here, Solomon describes how life passes, and the changes that take place in our lives as we grow older. I have an illustration here. It's called My Dilapidated House. Okay. On his 80th birthday, John Quincy Adams was walking slowly along a Boston street. A friend asked him, "How is John Quincy Adams today?" The former president replied graciously, "Thank you, John Quincy Adams is well, sir. Quite well. But the house in which he lives at present is becoming dilapidated. It is tottering upon the foundations. Time and the seasons have nearly destroyed it. Its roof is pretty well worn out. Its walls are shattered, and it trembles with every wind. The old tenement is becoming almost uninhabitable. And I think John Quincy Adams will have to move out of it soon. But he himself is quite well, thank you." That's the attitude that we need to cultivate so that when the call comes from the Lord, we may say with Paul, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. I'm ready to go." Right? And so remember the Lord. But anyway, look here at the description he gives of the person getting older. It's a beautiful description. You might, you know, some of it we may not quite understand, or maybe we do. We'll see. But evil days will come, times of trouble, heartaches, and all of this. We all have to face that, these trials that the Lord sends our way. Or we either have to trust him with them, or we have to try to do it on our own. And that's not a good idea. So as we grow older, it says the pleasures of this world no longer appeal to us as they once did. You can read that there. You don't no longer have that same desire for these things. Your tastes change, right? Everything seems to grow dim. Our physical bodies, he describes it here, says the keepers of the house tremble. The keepers of the house, your hands and your feet, you know, can't keep still any longer. We have the strong men bow themselves, our legs. How many people I've heard about, you know, you have to have your knees replaced. Yeah. All these things happen to us. The grinders cease, the teeth, the windows of the become dim. You can't see too well. Your eyes. The doors shut in the street, your ears. You know, I have to keep changing my batteries continually to be able to hear what's going on. And you rise up early. I don't know if this applies to everyone or not, but to many. Waking up before dawn, getting up. The daughters of music are changing, singing voice. You get a little bit raspy, right? And all of these things that happen. You're afraid of high places. The almond tree turns white, huh? There it is. And the grasshopper shall be a burden. You can't carry as much as you used to. You can't lift. You're weak. The body then returns to dust. At the end, at the last, comes death. We gradually get older. Is this a down sermon or what? I don't know. but anyway, here it's something to think about, right? And we're headed in that direction, but we don't. On the way, let's do the best we possibly can, right? Keep on going. Don't give in. And continue to serve the Lord as much as you possibly can. And he says here that the Spirit returns to God. That is, the Spirit continues to live, to face God. He's going to, the body may die, but the Spirit lives on, right? And we have to look forward to that day when we stand before God to give an account of ourselves. So the conclusion here, I had to skip all that, but you can read it again. In verse 13, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Now this is Old Testament, of course. It doesn't go into all the thing about being born again and so forth. We know that that has to be, yes. It's clear in the New Testament. But here, fear God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, right? Think of him, respect him, and seek to please him. That's certainly a good quality for anyone to have, and to keep his commandments, to be obedient. What does it say? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. To be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey. And that's what he's saying here. We need to give it all to the Lord and allow him to be our Savior and our Redeemer. And prepare now for the coming days when we stand before God. May we not be ashamed in his presence. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I have another verse here to read, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. Paul says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Think about that. Your labor is not worthless. It is important. We need to serve God. The only way to be pleasing to God and prepared to meet him is by placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died to take away your sins and give you eternal life. Life is not in vain if you know Jesus and live your life for him. Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today. Help us to remember, to think back through our lives and realize how you have helped us so many times and how you are still with us to guide us along the way. And may we yield ourselves to you completely and walk in fellowship with you and do what is pleasing in your sight. For anyone under the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus, we pray that you might bring that one to yourself, to true salvation in him, to know beyond a doubt that he has eternal life. May your holy will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.